This talk is about linker scripts and some of the ways they differ between GNU-LD, LLD. There are some bits where I've kind of bent that definition a bit and gone through the sort of the differences in the internals. As in the internal linker script, because at least with some linkers, when you say you're not using a linker script, you are. It's just the linker's provided it for you in the background. So first slide is basically. It's just some basics so that you can understand what I'm going to be talking about for the rest of the talk. Apologies if you're already familiar with ELF and linker scripts, this will be a bit boring. But just very, very quickly, linker's job is to take input sections that you would have in your sort of ELF file, normally your .text, your .data, .bss, which is sort of zero initialized stuff, and it will combine them together into one bigger blob. And those are sort of then called output sections. So I will use the term input sections for stuff coming from your object file, output sections, what the linkers combined together. And then these will end up in program segments in your ELF file, and then basically your operating system or kind of copy will operate on a program segment. Okay. Right. So linker scripts, sort of I guess more formally called linker control scripts. It's kind of like a domain-specific language that the linker uses. I guess the majority of the commands are to do with image layout, where you map input sections to output sections. There are a few additional commands as well. Like, for example, some of the commands are load more files. And you might actually be surprised to know on at least some systems, your libc is actually a linker script. But it's a linker script that loads the actual files behind the scenes to make sure you get them in the right order. Some details on the command line. GNU-LD has a built-in linker script, and you can actually dump this with --- verbose if you're actually interested in the horror of what the GNU internal linker script is. But LLD and Gold and I'm assuming Mold as well basically have they don't use an internal textual DSL script. They kind of mimic it using command line language, that type of thing, or just basically hard code things. So one interesting thing, this is just, I guess, not related to LLD or GNU-LD, but if you use -T, which is the short form for --- script, the script that you provide will replace the internal linker script. But you can actually just put the script on the command line as if it were an object file, and that won't replace the linker script. It will add to it, so you can basically add various different fragments, that type of thing. Anyway, here's an example of a linker script, so you can see what sort of things there. This is one from a very, very stripped down one from an embedded system. I've used embedded systems kind of for the linker scripts, because generally, if you're, say, linking in user space and Linux or whatever, you really don't need to use a linker script for most of the time. And the general advice is, if you don't need to touch linker scripts, don't touch them, is what I would say. So memory command at the top, that's basically laying out where your various memories are on the embedded system. You might have different properties, like one might be flash, one might be RAM, that type of thing. You have these things called input sections descriptions, which are that *.text*. That's the sort of things that link is going to sort of filter against. So when your input.section, it will match against that .text there. You have symbol definitions that you can put down. That dot in the next to the underscore in the exeidx*, is called the location counter, and that's basically will mean the linker will fill in with the address that was there at the time. So basically, at the end of .text, there'll be a certain amount of address space being used. So at the end of that output section, that value will get put into the symbol there, so that your program can basically introspect itself by using these symbols. Have built-in functions, for example, align. The sort of arrow flash and at flash, those are sort of ways of assigning things to memory regions, and that can become important for one of the things we'll do later on. Anyway, GNU-LD and LLD linker script handling. As it's been mentioned in the GNU talk this morning, there's no specification for linker scripts. The closest we have is the linker script manual in the GNU documentation. Some parts are underspecified, some parts are implementation defined. GNU and LD and LLD are also moving targets, so even if you did decide to basically reverse engineer the source code, there would be no guarantee that by the next release it would be the same thing. Generally LLD will try and keep as close to the specification as possible. it has made a design decision to differ in a few cases where there's been some, I guess, odd behaviour accumulated over time. I'd say these are not well-specified languages that have been sort of gone through a programming committee. They are accumulations of, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say hacks over time, but it has been developed over the course of 30 years and it's accumulated a lot of rubbish. Okay, so orthon placement. So this is one of the areas where GNU-LD and LLD differ slightly, but they give you roughly the same results. So as we sort of went back to that previous linker script, there were only fragments. It wasn't a complete specification of where all of the sections go. So linker scripts do not have to be complete. You could only actually need to give a partial description. And the linker, basically, if any section doesn't match any of those input section descriptions, it's called an orthon. And then it's basically, the manual says, it is up to the linker to place the orthons. So basically, it can place them, well, where it tries to do something that's relatively sensible. So you can, if you're concerned about that or want to know what the linker's done, there is this thing called orthon placement, and it can tell you where things are, that type of thing. And then there's also an option called --unique, where if you don't want the linker to try and mess about with combining your orphans together, it will just put them all in their own individual sections, that type of thing. Okay, so here's an example of how a linker might place orphans. What it tends to do is it tries to match the properties of the section. So, like, for example, you've got an executable section. On the assembly code there, you have the AX, so that means SHF alloc executable A. Well, that would be read-only, AW write, that sort of thing. Prog bits, there's something in the file, no bits, that's runtime initialized, zero initialized data. And the linker basically says, OK, what have I already got in my linker script? Well, I've already got a .text section, that's got executable, so I'll place the orphan with a similar name afterwards, that type of thing. So that's the sort of thing that would do. One of the interesting cases that we'll get to is where does it place when there's already symbol assignments? So linker's got to be very careful to try not to break someone's carefully placed symbol assignment. So here's just a very, very quick textual detail for some of the things that I've said there. And particularly the example that I've got at the bottom here. You've got this last one, .foo, there's a section called bar, and then someone's advanced the location counter on 1,000. So if the linker inserts, it says, oh, .foo, I can place that in the section, .foo. But where does it place it? Does it place it after bar? Does it place it after the dot? And the rule that the linkers take is it always puts it after any of the various expressions that it's done there, because in general this is where programmers might say, I want section start, section end, and if you insert something in the middle of that, then you might have broken someone's program who's been, say, tried to make their own table of pointers that they're iterating through, that type of thing. Okay, so here's an example of where GNU-LD and LLD differ, and this is actually a fairly simple one. It's actually quite hard to get them to differ in most cases, but LLD, in its default linker script, prefers to place read-only sections before executable sections. GNU-LD has the opposite and will place read-only after executable. So if there's no read-only in the linker script, the linker's got no information of which to say, ah, here's my anchor to place it afterwards. So they will make different choices. And there was a bug report about this saying, oh, the linker did something different. But yeah, it's one of those, a known difference. Okay, yeah. Another thing that, this is more of a curiosity with LLD, and it's just something that I see when people port programs from another operating system, is quite often someone will forget the A. If you forget the A, that's essentially telling the linker that this section is not part of the program. It's like a debug section that's metadata. Now, it does turn out that GNU-LD and LLD will place the orphan at the same place. But LLD, unfortunately, uses that as an anchor point for all of the other sections. So if you put, in that particular case, bar will get inserted in bar there, but then all of the debug sections will get put after it, because that's suddenly the anchor point for all the no-alloc sections, which is a bit of a curiosity, I think, at that point. So, yeah, main thing, if you're ever porting a program from GNU and something weird goes on, check your assembler, and the chances are you forgot to put an A flag on one of your sections. Okay, so program header generations. This is somewhere where I'm going away from linker script and veering much more back to the user space. area. So this is basically trying to explain some of the differences between separate code and no separate code behavior on LLD and GNU-LD. So this is an ELF program header. So this is what describes a segment. The most important ones that you need to look at here are P offset, which is the offset in the file, P vAddr, which is basically the virtual address that the thing will be loaded at, and the P align, which is a very strange thing, congruent to P offset modulo P align. And this is I guess you could almost call it, it almost seems like a trick, and to allow basically the same page in the file to get mapped in two different places in virtual memory, and that can save some physical memory. Yeah, okay. So in what I call that system 5, by system 5, think of that as something like Linux or BSD, that type of thing. Now, this ELF file is actually memory mapped using various mmap calls into memory. This is actually quite different from an embedded system, because an embedded system, you probably wouldn't even load the ELF file anyway. You would basically copy the load bits out, and then you would have some bit of initialization code copy from various bits to where they needed to be. So they're actually, in some ways, even though I guess the linker scripts were designed before ELF, ELF is not really well designed for embedded systems, because you're kind of almost misusing ELF to make it work for embedded systems in a lot of cases. But anyway, I'll go from here. Okay. So the reason I'm mentioning program headers here is that you can be very explicit in your linker script and use the pheaders command, but most of the time you actually want the linker to generate these things for you, because if you get it wrong, then the program just won't work. So for a typical sort of link, the linker's going to look for this thing called the VMA to LMA offset, which is basically LMA being the load address. And this is really only important in embedded systems where you, for example, want your load address to be in flash, but your execution address to be in memory, that type of thing. So if that offset changes, the linker will change the program header. You typically want all of your non-zero initialized thing before the zero initialized thing, because that's the only way that an ELF program header can describe it. And of course, if you're changing properties from like RO to RW, that whilst you could in theory merge them, you generally don't want executable RW in most systems. Okay. So here's just a graphical example of some of the things that I'm making. It's quite a complicated diagram, but this is where you get this alignment coming in that if you think of your text segment there, so I've deliberately done that so it is just a bit smaller than the memory page, and I'm using a 64K page here. So you've got the data segment that is not aligned to a page boundary in the file. If it was, there'd be a big gap in it filled with zeros. So what the operating system actually does is it double maps that particular bit, so you end up with the text segment mapped basically, and part of the data segment mapped to the first page, read-only, and then you have the second bit mapped to read-write into two separate pages there. So we've actually wasted one page of virtual memory, but we've saved one physical memory page. Now, the interesting bit for this is that the mapping for the read-write is copy-on-write, so you can't write to 41000 and write into the read-only execute bit. But what it does permit you to do is to basically read towards the end of the execute thing, and you'll actually be reading into the data segment read-only. Now, in theory, if you've not protected your program, this probably doesn't matter that much, but if you have hardened your program against ROP and JOP attacks, there could be potentially gadgets in the read-only data that if someone manages to redirect control, they can find more gadgets in that same. So there's this section called Z separate code, where it will sort of basically make sure that the read-only executable is separated by page by pages, so you don't ever get this double mapping from there. And as you can see for the GNU-LD layout, it's got some read-only, then some execute, then more read-only. And it actually, that can waste you quite a lot of pages in a small system, particularly in AOT64 or something like that, where you've got a 64K basic page. So there are control things for that. So if you use no separate code, then you end up with them tightly packed like I had before. So quite often various distros will choose different values of Z no separate code. But if you do find, hey, all my binary sizes have suddenly got bigger, it might be because of this Z separate code. Now, GNU LLD does something slightly different to that, in that because it normally preferred read-only executable before read-only executable, it didn't quite have that triple or a sandwich of read-only executable between the read-onlys. So by default, LLD would give you three program layer head out. Okay, I need to speed up a little bit here. But anyway, that's just one example of differences in memory layout, even without LinkScript case. Okay, so program segments in embedded systems. So mentioned earlier on, you had this arrow to flash and at. So this is how you would basically arrange it so that your execution address for your data is actually in RAM, but your load address, your LMA, is in flash. And then some program will actually go and copy the stuff from the flash contents into the RAM contents. So the reason I'm mentioning this is that there are some slight differences between GNU LLD and whatever. So, and there are certainly some problems with LLD that we know at the moment. So LLD at the moment will assume that your output section and is virtual memory address is monotonically ascending. So you can break this with a linker script like this, where you kind of, because it's working top down, it will just try and assign these sections into the memory region top down. And unfortunately, that plus 64, that second section really should be after the section in that file. GNU LLD is clever about this, and it will actually sort the things to make sure that they are in ascending order, but LLD won't. And you'll end up with a bit of code that tries to work out what the load address is from its virtual memory address, and it basically wraps around and goes negative. So that's one thing, but known bug in LLD at the moment that we'll need to fix. But the other thing is, say, if you are writing a linker script for embedded systems, please try not to make your life difficult for your linker and put things in ascending order, is what I would say on there. Okay, so just because I've only got probably 1 minute left, how some other things or gotchas that you probably need to look out for. So dot assignment within an output section. See that dot equals 4 there? Now, you might think that means assign the location counter to 4, but no, it doesn't. There's a special case that if you do that within an output section, it's supposed to be relative to dot section. So that's actually saying dot equals dot section plus 4. So if you want to do that, please, LLD has decided this is silly, we're not doing this, and it just means dot equals 4. But it does mean if you have got an old linker script, then you can end up getting caught like this. And you have there is a way of doing things that's compatible with both, which is use dot plus equals, and it also that looks much nicer, and it actually lines up to what you probably intended to do anyway. So I think with that, I just want to quickly mention some references, and then I'll stop. So if you do want to know about what LLD does, and Masquerade, the current LLD maintainer, has gone through, and basically, often when he wants to implement something, he'll put a blog post up and write lots of interesting things about what he's found out about various things. So it's not documentation, it's definitely blog post type material, sort of what's there at the time, but it is quite useful to get into what the internals of these sort of things done. And then there's some various sort of bug reports, links and things there, but I better stop there because I'm probably out of time now. So we've got 2 minutes, so might be able to get one, maybe two questions or something like that.
Oh. Is there an effort to try to standardize the linker scripts?
So the question was, is there an effort to standardize linker scripts? I think it's very much down to the community. So I think what we've said in LLD is that if anyone wants to add to the wants to change the linker script format, then go to binutils mailing list and make sure you get it agreed with the GNU. And don't just we definitely don't want to just pile extensions into LLD, but really it's just communication across of the various. The problem with standardizing it is that means that they can't change it. So I think there's probably they want to keep some of that. But yes, sir.
So I know that if you use funky linker script stuff
yeah.
with LDO, then LDO, like, you can do things like, we talked about, like, constructor lists, or, LDO doesn't seem to be able to take advantage of the linker, of the layout caused
right.
by linker script in order to do things like preload data that it knows should be in certain locations.
Yeah.
Is that some sort of fundamental limitation with the architecture, or do you think that could be?
So yeah, there is. So the question was about basically LTO and linker scripts probably not interacting very well. So yeah, there are some efforts that are going on with it, within the LLVM embedded community for this, to try and basically say how can we make sure that you can place. Well, basically, I probably take too long to answer this, but things like interprocedural optimization. Can break certain linker scripts. Sometimes you want to say, here's this region of memory, this region of memory, and I do not want you to share things between these two bits of memory, but LTO basically just assumes it can do all of it. So there is some effort ongoing, but we need to work out what the actual rules are here. But but yeah, there is some effort in the community to go on to try and fix that. Okay, I'd probably best stop there.